42 to 47. Here's what God's Word says to us there. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We are grateful to the Lord for His Word, that it can be read publicly this morning, and pray that it may be a blessing to us as we have it ministered today as well. The congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, among other things, a profession of faith is an expression of commitment and devotion. And so when we're looking for a place in the Scriptures where there is a calling for members of the church to be devoted, this passage from Acts 2 speaks to that. It speaks to devotion. And I thought it was nice that as we were working our way through Acts, that we would be focused on this portion of Acts chapter 2 that speaks about devoted church members. To do that on a day when we had two people make their profession of faith. Two people who came to profess their faith in Christ as an expression, among other things, of devoted church membership. Our passage reminds us that the devotion that the church is to have to the Lord is a devotion that we're to have as well. Called either to profess Christ or because we've already responded to that call with a profession of faith. And when we think about, of course, Acts 2, we think about so often the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. And yet when we hear this part of Acts chapter 2, it's speaking to us about the fruit of the Spirit at work in the membership of the Church of Jesus Christ in the aftermath of the Pentecost event. And you might ask yourself, as we work our way through these fruit, especially if you have made a profession of Christ, whether you find these fruit and these expressions of devotion indicative of your own membership in the Church of Jesus Christ, your own profession of faith in Christ. It's also something that we should find in the church where we find ourselves. It's not that the early church was the perfect church. You know, some people talk about how they want to go back and be just like the apostles. I mean, we know that perfection wasn't there even then, because Acts is a very honest account, isn't it? Acts speaks to us about hypocrisy that took place. It speaks about conflicts that took place. But our passage does testify plainly that the church was being guided by the presence of God's Spirit, making it a fruitful and a devoted body and church of Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at these devotions that are mentioned here in Acts 2:42, where we hear that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. You know, we can talk about churches being apostolic and the Church of Jesus Christ being apostolic, but often people's focus on the apostles is on what they performed miraculously instead of what they taught doctrinally. Often what's stressed in churches are the miracles of the apostles and how we can do them too now. You know, instead of the teachings to which the miracles were pointing and for which those miracles were serving. The miracles were done to confirm that what the apostles were teaching was true. And so the church was not devoted to the apostles' miracles. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And what they taught then was worthy of attention and attraction and believing and living out and trusting. The apostles' teachings were always centered on Christ. They called people to see that the Old Testament was pointing to Christ as Savior and King. And accordingly, the call to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus was appropriate. Faith in the saving work of Christ and Him alone, repentance unto a life that was worthy of the gospel of Christ. And the people hungered and they thirsted for the word as it was preached and it was taught. Do you find that to be so for you? The work of the Church of Jesus Christ still needs to be about devoting itself or herself to the apostolic teaching. Those who draw near to this church today as members should find themselves devoted to the apostolic teaching. Is that partly how you view your membership? If you're a member somewhere? Often that's not the case in many forms at all. You know, some are super attracted to gatherings where the gospel is never heard at all. And they can come in droves. They hear that God wants them healthy and wealthy, or that God wants them to be able to do whatever they want to do. And they get the attraction that everybody's included that way, and don't worry about what you do. Don't worry how you act. Don't worry how you behave. Come one, come all. Some are attracted to gatherings that are so big that no one will ever know they're there. And people like that, because they figure nobody's going to care if they're there or not. And they're not even going to know whether they're there or not. Some are attracted to gatherings, and if you ask them what brought them there, what brings them here, they might say it's the music, or it's their friends, or it's their family, or it's convenient, it's close by. But they might not say, first of all, it's because that's somewhere where I know that I'm going to hear the gospel, because I need to hear that. I'm going to hear the apostolic teaching to which I'm supposed to be devoted. And for some people, you know, that's just not enough. That might be happening, but they want a happening. Church can become nothing more than a member-centered therapy session, where I come to feel good and get my desires filled and get what I want, rather than a Christ-centered proclamation that calls us to praise the sovereign and saving God from whom all blessings flow. It's not hard for church to become an all-about-me gospel. Ever get tempted that way? Instead of it being an all-about-Christ gospel? In the process, there's no devotion to the teachings of the apostles, because they don't focus on us. They focus on Christ, just like the baptism did today. Churches and members then have to ask themselves, you know, do we want to devote ourselves to the apostolic teaching? It's that teaching that's going to focus on Christ. And when it focuses on Him, it has an impact on our lives for God's glory, because that's why we were made and that's why we're remade, when we've known God's grace. Such were those whom the Lord added to the number of the church daily. The next devotion mentioned is a devotion to the fellowship At Babel, the name of the individual and of man was held in highest regard because Babel was about making a name for yourself. While at Pentecost and with the Spirit of God, a devotion to one another occurred in the church in the name of Jesus Christ. And that fellowship bonded these people together. They rejoiced with those who rejoiced. They mourned with those who mourned. They wanted to spend time with one another. And they wanted to invest themselves in the lives of one another. And it's no wonder then the meals that they spent with one another, as our passage spoke, as they broke bread in their homes. And they all wanted to help in all the ways that they could. And they had their ear to the ground of that. And probably what was most remarkable and caused the people to be seen in favor by others was the kind of devotion that they had to one another. They didn't just, you see, devote themselves to the teaching, but they lived that teaching out by being of help to one another in time of need. So much so that when we hear that the people who were wealthy sold so that others who were in need would not be in need, and they all had things in common. Now, that wasn't supposed to be promoting some kind of Christian communism. Because as the apostle would say later, Ananias and Sapphira, he would say, you know, your giving is not to be a compulsion. You're free to do with what you've been given. You're not compelled. Nobody in the freedom of Christ was going to have a gun put to their head, so to speak, to be compelled to give everything they had. And that's just not the spirit of Christ. It's not what defines generosity. But what we have here is surely an example of what could be done and can be done. And when the situation is urgent, will be done when a church and its members are devoted to the fellowship. And that too would have been a devotion that would have been the opposite of Babel, where everybody's just making a name for themselves. And that's the only thing that caused people concern. And the fellowship, people were devoted to one another for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ, because that was the name that meant the most. It was the most important fellowship that they knew. In an environment opposed to Christ in various ways, that devoted Christian fellowship would be a most important fellowship to know. And that it's certainly true today as well. You know, in our day, there are many challenges to the devotion to the fellowship. Some of its attitude, some of its geographic, some of its the use of our time, some of it has to do with other fellowships that mean more to us or take a measure of our time. But what impressed the world back then, and what should impress the world today, and in the process make the fellowship more attractive, and which then we need to keep in mind as well when we think about our church membership, is the devotion that we have to one another. We live at a time where our world expects the government to do everything for us. But part of the reason for that is because the importance of church fellowship and the church as a whole has been lost by so many people. The more people see the importance of the fellowship of the church, you see, both as a place to give and to receive, the more we would see the needs of people met on local and broader levels. And that's what was going on in the days of the apostles as people were devoted to the fellowship. And it reminds us that we have to be keenly aware of that ourselves. That when we're members in the church, we're called to be devoted to each other. The devoted and fruitful church is also a church that wants to commune with the Lord. There was the breaking of bread that we hear. And it's not the breaking of the bread so much here. It's the breaking. It really should be seen, I guess I should say, is that it is the breaking of the bread. It's not just like they did when they were going in their homes and breaking bread in their homes. But it's most likely a calling that's here to devote themselves, as opposed to breaking bread in homes, to the devotion to celebrate the communion of the Lord's Supper. And that's something that we're going to be celebrating, Lord willing, next week. And that devotion in that communal worship event speaks to people's gladness, you see, to take advantage of church worship. And coming together like they did in worship when the opportunity arose, these gatherings displayed their bond to Christ who's in heaven, and yet present with them by the Spirit, and then also the bond to one another. And that's important. That's super important for the Christian as they go about fighting the good fight of faith and seeking to be strengthened in the means of grace and seeking to be a blessing and seeking to take on all the responsibilities that have been given as those who are professing their faith in Christ. And as they come together in worship, they saw the opportunity of worshiping together as a real treat for them. And not just a mere obligation, and certainly not a burden. We all have to ask ourselves that, don't we? Are we eager to hear the apostolic teaching? Are we eager to share in the fellowship? And are we eager to take advantage of the opportunities that are there for us to display our bond with Christ and His members and the worship opportunities that are granted to us? They are not to be burdens. And they're not to be afterthoughts. And they're not to be, well, oh yeah, I guess I've got time for that today. No, they're to be blessings. We have to see them as blessings for us as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. And there was also a desire to come together in prayer. Prayer and worship go together. The early church sought the Lord's counsel. It sought the Lord's supply. And it thanked the Lord for the opportunity to be associated with the name of Jesus Christ and to suffer for that name. And they even found that the Lord did exceedingly more than they could ever imagine, and it moved them to a devotion to prayer. And while the sufficiency of Christ is ours to enjoy in faith, and we heard that expression in the profession of faith today, it's equally true that prayer deserves our devotion. The benefits of Christ are vast. And so we can be thankful, and so we pray. And though we are redeemed, our sins continue. So we have reason to confess, as Jesus would teach us. And we're but creatures who need the Father to fill our hands when the things that we need are evident. And so we ask and we seek and we knock. The God whose we are and whom we serve is so far above us and beyond us, and yet so graciously condescending, that our adoration of Him can never be at a loss. We can pray for ourselves, we can pray for our families, the church, the world, the governments of the world, and then others can do the same. When we end our prayers, others may resume and start again. Are we busy? All the more reason for us to pray. And it shouldn't be surprising that the early church then was devoted to prayer. It shouldn't be surprising that we find ourselves praying in worship, in private, with our family members, with our spouses, and to be devoted to it, to desire it like we would desire our food and drink. There's always reason to pray for one thing or another person. And that's part of why we're devoted to prayer, called to it. You can see then that this description of the early church is a worthwhile checklist for us, isn't it? It's a worthwhile checklist for ourselves as a church and as members of the churches where we find ourselves. Particularly as those who profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Are we devoted to the apostolic teaching? Do we want to learn and listen as disciples of Christ called in faith and repentance to believe and serve the God of our salvation? Are we devoted to the fellowship, or is it an afterthought? Or we find ourselves on the fringe and like it there? Do we want to share? Are we devoted to the breaking of the bread? Do we want to celebrate our communion with God and His people in Christ? As we hear Christ calling us to do this in remembrance of Him, do we want to devote ourselves to prayer? Do we see the need for prayer as a church, as families, as individuals, for Jesus' sake, for our own sake, for the sake of other people? Those are signs of a faithful church that are devoted to her head, who are filled with the Spirit, and as those who have professed their faith in Christ. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond in prayer, shall we? Father, we're reminded again to take a moment to reflect on a devoted and fruitful church and to see ourselves in light of that devotion and that fruitfulness. May it be so, Father, that as we look into our lives, that if we've made that profession or we've heard that call to that, that we might find ourselves to be in a people that find this kind of hungering and thirsting and devotion to be part of our own psyche, because You have so worked in our lives and our profession of faith is so genuine that these are things that are evident in our own lives. Father, pardon us where they're not, and help us, Lord, to see these fruits at work in our lives. May You bless us to that end, as those called to profess that there's no more blessed thing for us to know than Christ as Savior and King. Accept our prayers, dear Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.